Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic.com, joined by Sam and Ross. And is anyone else a bit cold in here? Because there's a draft about.
Oh, I think it's welcome because it's quite stuffy.
Hey, because not only... Any want to chip on the joke as well, Sam?
No, I'm all right.
You're all right.
Yeah.
Don't become a draft excluder, Sam.
That's right. As you may have guessed from that stunning intro... And it wasn't even scripted, you could never tell. It is the upcoming WWE Draft. It'll take place on SmackDown this week and then on the following Raw as well. I assume there's going to be picks for both shows alternate. Like, both shows are going to feature on either edition of the draft.
They seem to be really hyping otherwise, up Fox versus
it's not
USA.
About, not so about I think Raw it's going to be anymore.
Oh? I think, yeah, they'll do it across both.
I just watched the advert there and they said network warfare or something along those lines. Because we're all invested in Fox versus US. Forget about Raw versus SmackDown. That's the Brannix thing we want to see.
So this is, of course, a 9 pitches video. And remember the golden rule. It's not what we think will happen. It's what we want to happen.
Yay. You didn't join in, Ross.
It's not what we think will happen. It's what we want to happen. What does everybody want?
Drafts.
Pitches.
Pitches, uh-huh, as well. Let's start off with Sam.
I'm going to go for a nice, short, easy one to begin with, and it's a shock pick. So SmackDown starts, and then pretty early or pretty quickly in the show, John Morrison returns.
Oh!
And so a courtship between both brands, because I'm assuming there's going to be representatives from Raw on SmackDown and vice versa. There's sort of a weird courtship going on where they're trying to lure him over to their brand and sort of get in his good books. And yeah, it's going to just go backward and forward. He'll appear on both shows, you know, get some good backstage stuff, maybe a Miz TV appearance, and possibly a little 24/7 title win.
A return of the dirt sheet? Is that what it was called?
Oh, was that both of them?
Miz and Morrison?
Yeah.
The dirt sheet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't call it that these days. You'd have to call it the WordPress blog.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The YouTube series. Where would you imagine if they just call it like the wrestler of the week or something? Where would he end up eventually? Sorry?
Wherever the Miz ends up.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And how are you luring him? You're going to pull a Chris Eubanks. Would you like a sweetie? One of my favorite videos. That it's a delight, a stupendous confectionery.
I think we're going to get people promising him title shots. We're going to get people promising him that, you know, it's the bigger show, it's the better network. Really hammer home both networks, and we're just going to mainly see him have fun backstage while, you know, we get some boring ish promos of him sort of being lured across.
Especially we've got down like the Fox executive going like, we're shooting a slower frame rate, so we've got the slow motion cameras for your entrance, Johnny.
No, he would love that.
That would.
I don't understand any of that stuff.
You need a high frame rate for the slow motion entrance.
Die.
He would love that because he is a film enthusiast as well, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is.
Was that you?
That's it. Yeah. Nice, quick, short one.
I like it. I think it's good. It's going to be a yes from me. I've never been like a monumental fan of John Morrison or whatever, but I think that I always have enjoyed him, and I think that this is a nice way of reintroducing him and making him feel immediately like a big deal once again. So yeah, it's a yes from me.
I'm on board, and they have to give him a brand new second name. Forget about John Morrison. If he goes to Raw on the USA Network,
Johnny Dynamite.
He's
right?
Johnny USA. And if he
no,
he's
no.
Foxy Johnny on Friday nights if he goes. Dressed as a real fox.
It's as well as, like, if they make a big deal out of him, yes, he's older. He can still go, but, like, he's never been, you know, he's not like a mega star like The Rock or anything.
He can be at the top of the card, though.
But I think he is a name that's sort of big enough where they can make a sort of big deal about him and it will be exciting. So.
I think, given his look and his moveset, I'm actually surprised he didn't get even higher than he was. Yeah. Not higher in that sense. Well, hey, in fact, was he even big on the weed? I don't know. Anyway, but I'm surprised he wasn't, you know, challenging and winning. Well, he did challenge for world titles, but I'm surprised he didn't win at least one. Maybe the big gold belt. He never did.
Yeah. I thought he would be.
Would look glorious with that big furry coat.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
NXT, I would have liked to have seen him in. I think he's a perfect fit. I know, yeah. But I would like, yeah. Mm. Give him a second name, a funny one.
Johnny Full Sail.
It's a strong start, Sam. Now, Ross, what's your first pick?
My first one is an introduction of a transfer window. So this is down the line. We have the draft. Because superstar shakeups, yeah, they happen after WrestleMania. We've seen it. Matches, well, how did it used to get done back in the day? Matches will happen and the winner, their brand would get the pick. We've seen
I didn't
We've
like
seen
that
all that format. Stuff happen before. We've seen the randomizer on the draft thing. Whoa, who's going? Jim Ross, you're going to SmackDown.
Oh, God.
Back there.
He didn't even know.
No, he didn't know.
That's shockingly
so
cool.
So to try and introduce something new to wrestling, of WWE at least, I would like once or twice a year. Like the football. I like the football. You like the football. Mm. Sam doesn't really like the football.
You know.
I would like to see a transfer window brought in. An actual transfer. Do I want to see... I don't know. I'm just making this up on the spot here. Do I want to see transfer fees introduced into wrestling? Yes, I do.
I'm thinking more like it'll be really exciting when we have like a 24-hour stream of round the clock. Oh, he's going to this brand. Oh, no, it's not happening.
Would it be actually be live streaming like Sky's Jim White?
Jim White with his yellow tie.
Old transfer clause.
Oh, what's this? We're just going live to the scene where our reporters are outside...
Titan Towers, and we'll just cut to us on a green screen.
We're going to all be the centre of attention. Like, Jim loves to be the centre of attention, don't you, Jim? I hate Jim.
I'm just catching Stephanie McMahon giving an interview out of her car window. I want all that.
Yeah.
I want that to all be fantastic.
We're Bagsy that, YouTube channels who cover wrestling. We're going to be the Sky Sports News on transfer deadline day in the WWE. But yeah, let's get transfer fees involved. Let's have contracts. We know how long these contracts are. So, you know, in the build-up window, oh my God, Johnny Mundo's... Oh, sorry, Johnny Foxy Johnny's SmackDown contract's got like a week to run. The transfer window. Oh, he could go on a Bosman. What would the Bosman ruling be called in wrestling?
It'd
be the Zodiac rule.
Surely the Bosman would be bringing in people from AEW just on a free. Or something. Yeah.
Could be like the Rick Rude.
Rick Rude. Yeah, he's coming on a Rude.
But transfer window. Let's have transfer fees. Let's know how long these, not how much money they're earning. Who cares about that? Let's know how long these contracts are, because it adds a bit of suspense and thrilling stuff to it all.
No, let's
it?
Add how much they're earning. I'd love to see that. He makes 12 quid.
Heath Slater.
Per match.
Before we give our verdict, I'd like to know how long. Well, how many times a year, first of all? One transfer window a year or two?
Two, maybe, yeah. Well, after WrestleMania and then a Christmas one. Christmas,
And also, how long would the window last?
That's up to anybody. It could last two shows. It could last a month.
I guess
it would get boring after a month.
Does this eliminate the need for a future draft, though?
This would replace... You have your draft.
Yeah, and
Whoa! Punch me microphone in excitement. You have your draft now, and then this would replace the draft. But then sometimes, I guess, you know how they like to hit the reset button.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's when a draft would come back. But I don't know how you would determine that. I just like the idea of a transfer window.
It's a bit of a more formulaic... No, not formulaic. Less formulaic. It's a bit more of an exciting superstar shakeup with more of a structure.
Yeah.
And more excitement, potentially.
I guess that's the thing it's about. The superstar shakeup is just random, isn't it?
That's just...
Willy-nilly, just, it's after WrestleMania, we've got to have a shakeup.
Yeah. And they always do it before they've ended all the feuds as well.
Yeah.
Like, then we get matches like that House of Horrors, which wasn't for the title.
But at least then, if you get this, like, transfer window, and, I don't know, if they'll have authority figures or whatever, the Fox executive goes, I want that man. That's why the feud ends. We know why it ended now.
Okay.
There's a definitive reason. Probably like, meh.
Nice.
Administrative stuff. Everyone loves admin.
Yeah, admin. I'm going to give it a cautious yes. I think done well, it would be really good. But I think if they did it badly, it could be really, like, laughable.
Forgetting they are American.
Really shambolic. Yeah, because they don't really
They haven't got
have
a clue
that.
About the European transfer window and going.
They do trades in American sports. There's always trades.
I mean, we did sign Mickey Almiron from bloody Atalanta, so.
Yeah.
It gets a resounding yes from me.
Nice.
Very much enjoy it.
Well, we're 2 for 2. It's me next, isn't it? Damn it.
Yes.
Oh, no. Right. Well, I'm going to...
You cursed yourself there.
I know. I'm going to introduce a one. I'm going to go more the American side of... like sports shenanigans rather than you've gone for more like the European style, I reckon.
The better way.
I'm just punching my mic now.
Yeah!
Three for three on Mike Fury on Raw.
Oh. No, that would be more like, you learned from Shane McMahon.
I'm going to go for the American style of things because I'm not a massive know-it-all about American sports, but I like NBA and I do loosely follow the NFL. And I enjoy the drafts. I've never watched one live, but I enjoy how overblown it is and all the hype and that. And all these young teenagers turning up in suits with their families and stuff. Teenagers is come from straight from high school.
Thousands of others nationwide who are waiting to hear their names called out with all of their family around them, and it never happens.
Sometimes it doesn't. It's really sad, yeah. But I think what they need to do is have two, because we've got two shows, we've got SmackDown and Raw, and both shows have like a draft area, maybe in a nearby building.
Are you talking maybe, like, are you talking like a Eurovision style points,
like tables,
points room?
Not like a green room, more like when there's a draft in one of the big American sports and they got like that, like a conference room with tables and that. I just want that, just because then when someone comes up and announces the draft or whatever, that would happen in the live arena for the crowd.
Yeah.
But then it would cut to that room, and then they'd make their way to the arena and come out on stage.
So you're thinking about when Triple H was drafted away from Evolution and The Undertaker lost his bananas.
Oh, a little bit like that. And then you see reactions and you see...
He just kicks a bin over and then walks out, doesn't he?
People are all potentially suited up, I don't know. But you've got like reaction shots when they stand up and stuff. And then also towards the end of the night, maybe between two people who weren't... maybe it gets down to like someone who's so determined to be drafted, but he doesn't, and someone else gets drafted instead. They just have just an excuse for a brawl, falling over these tables, knocking drinks over, glasses of champagne are going everywhere.
They kind of did this for the 2016 draft, but for the people at the Performance Center.
Oh.
Everyone was sat down, but it wasn't, because you know how in this
era... Oh, that was real.
This era of wrestling where it was like, oh, congratulations, I'm honored to be here. That era, we're in that era. Nobody went like kayfabe. Everyone was like, oh, I'm so happy for you. Well done.
Are we going to get like the first draft pick getting a... like a Raw jersey or a SmackDown jersey and a big handshake.
A cap, definitely. A Raw. A big, like, one of them big pointer like fingers. Lesnar just like SmackDown's first pick. How are they going to decide who gets the first pick?
Flip a coin.
No, then there should be, like, a match or something, shouldn't there, for the first pick, I guess.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, that's my pitch. Sort of a draft area set up, big overblown, and then a brawl at the end to knock over a few tables and chairs and stuff.
Yeah, if everyone's in the kayfabe and like acting their character would react, yeah, definitely. Mm. Not like the NXT one, even though I guess that was real, as you say. That was them not knowing, oh, I'm on the main roster now.
Yeah.
Your career's over.
It gets a yes. Sorry, completely blanked out there. Yeah, gets a yes from me. As long as we get the jersey and the foam finger and the cap. And I was thinking maybe as well, but the problem is it's over two shows. If it was only one show, it'd be interesting if you just sort of sat them down somewhere so that at the end of the show you had both rosters sort of maybe either side of the ramp or wherever the hell they are, but you sort of end the show with both sets of
like
wrestlers.
Pop Idol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's still, I mean, Pop Idol, X Factor, I'm so old.
Yeah, and then they break out into a song like that, commercial for the Royal Rumble. Was it 2005 or 2006?
Oh, when they did
West Side Story. On the subway.
Yeah.
Aye. They have a performance of West Side Story.
Right, well, we're through.
That was it.
We're three for three, which means I think it's conclusive evidence that we're all excellent at pitching this draft.
And
then WWE should take all of our advice.
We are the best.
Yes. Now, Sam, can you continue this run of good form? What is your second pick?
So my second pick is new GMs revealed, but there's a bit more to it than just here's two new GMs.
Okay.
So, no McMahons at all. I think we should have new general managers for each brand, and to make things more official feeling, I think they should be either completely new characters that we've never met before, maybe introduced as representatives from the network, or at an absolute push, maybe a couple of WWE legends.
Okay.
But they need to be more of an office role. They've got to be more like Jack Tunney. So whenever you go to them, they're sat behind a desk in Stamford. They are like working away tirelessly.
They're not opening
the
every show.
They're not at the shows. If they're at the shows, something really serious has happened.
Used like Regal is on NXT.
Yeah.
Right.
You know when you hear Regal's music on NXT,
yeah,
something,
it's a big
something
deal.
Bad's happened.
Yeah.
His music's great for that as well.
Yeah, I think,
oh, no.
if you have them turn up when something huge happens or if there's a massive announcement, it makes them feel more special. It gets a bit more focus on the in-ring stuff. And I think you can have some assistance for them. So maybe you have a couple of people from the rosters that act as their like intermediaries.
Yeah.
But again, they're not used in that way. They're sort of backstage and in backstage segments, but they're not out there opening the show every week. They're not out there, you know, making it all about them. Unless, of course, the storyline warrants it. Please, no more heel authority storylines. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
I'm all on board. This is the thing, the really intriguing thing about this draft with it being network warfare in the advert is who is going to make the matches, because we've been conditioned. We're Pavlov dogs, us wrestling fans. We're stupid like dogs. Dogs aren't stupid. Dogs are lovely. I've lost my track of thought. Anyway, we've been conditioned over the past 20, God knows how long, 20 whatever years, that we need an authority figure to book these wrestling matches and tell the superstars where they're going wrong and what they're doing right and all that malarkey. So if they don't have them, how do things happen?
I think you bring back a commissioner.
And I like the idea of the network. Like, I'd like the idea of the new executives. Like a brand new character. Never seen before. Not like that blonde guy in the mid-2000s.
Was it Brad Maddox they brought in that nobody
on
really...
SmackDown.
He was brand new,
They had the blonde guy on SmackDown who was the network fella.
Oh.
He had the glasses.
Palmer.
Palmer. Not, don't be like him. Be a bit more entertaining, but be a network executive. And like.
What you want is more like the lad from ITV's World of Sport reboot, Mr...
Beasley.
Yeah. Was he just for one night? Was he just the New Year?
Yeah, because
it was Barrett.
It was Mr. Beasley, and he was like, no, because he was like, for the first time ever, we're going to have
Yorkshire puddings.
A battle royale match.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
So is it a yes from you?
Yeah, new, never seen before people, network executives, that's the role. They're only used like once every month, maybe, on average.
I'm gonna say yes as well, because it really has been so, like, for so long now, authority figures haven't just dominated the shows, but often have like taken away from it as well. They've had a negative impact, not just an oversaturated impact. And it's just, and this recent Shane stuff has just taken it to the absolute brink. I'd agree. If they were to pick existing figures in wrestling, like not Ross's theory, but if they were to go with people we're already familiar with, have you got anyone in mind who you particularly like?
As much as I know he's supposed to be being a stay-at-home dad, I think Edge would be big.
Yeah, that's a really good shout.
Because he's such a fan favourite, but he's also got a bit of a heely side to him as well. So like, you've got that sort of, he can play both roles very well.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's favourite in the world, Hulk Hogan.
No, I
don't know. Like, I haven't really given it much thought as to who it could be, because I was so transfixed with it being two brand new people.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I think if you bring back Edge and somebody of that ilk,
Edge, maybe Christian. SmackDown.
Yeah, Edge would be SmackDown.
Edge would be SmackDown. It's a perfect fit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then Matt Hardy is Raw's.
Just
then Lita in the middle.
But like, whoever they are, as I said, you just sort of have that. You know, you cut to them whenever they're announcing a pay-per-view or like a main event for something. I'd like the idea, as we just touched on, they have like a commissioner, because, you know, it makes sense. There's somebody backstage who is getting really stressed out. People are coming to them for matches, and they're having to keep track of everybody's wins and losses. And, well, actually, no, it's his turn next.
Right.
And I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. Right. Yeah. Well, it's still a 100% record, which has made me realize that the sort of the weak link in this sort of pitcher's team is Pacitti, because it's never.
We always rip on him when he's not here.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Ross.
Mine's the return of exclusive brand pay per views.
Oh.
Because you've got 12 million wrestlers. We don't need to see the best of both worlds, and it's all here tonight.
What's this song?
This isn't the best of both worlds I thought you were going to go for.
It's that advert they did.
I thought you were going for Miley Cyrus. Yeah,
they did that advert a year or so ago, was it? When they brought
you
in
always
the
count on you for like a sofa advert song or something really niche.
No, it was
really
a WWE. The old Carmella's there dancing, Nia Jax is dancing, AJ Styles is... We're going to bear the brunt of fire. We're going to bear the brunt of
what was it for?
It was for brand exclusive pay-per-views going, and then just having the best. The best of both brands on each pay-per-view each month. But scrap that bollocks. You've got a million wrestlers. You're going to have exclusive rosters of at least 500 on Raw and SmackDown Live, or Friday Night SmackDown. So have half the year given to SmackDown, half the year given to Raw.
In that way as well. Raw doesn't get a pay-per-view for 6 months.
alternate. Yeah. Don't take this literally. We'll have to spell it out for them, Sam. They're not very clever, these WWE. WWE people, not the...
Oh, I was going to say.
Not the people watching.
I was going to say,
we know
Ross,
the WWE steal our
ideas. Your own death warrant.
Shane McMahon's all my idea. We know
they're
wrong.
I can't afford to lose my husband.
Which idea did he steal from you?
Shane McMahon. Where'd you... I've had three or four they've taken.
Neville was a Geordie King. That was one.
That was definitely, yeah. No. Anyway, give half alternate, you know, have... Well, Armageddon. I've forgotten all the names of the pay-per-views, you know what I mean? But the big
Vengeance.
Five, the big five is where the best of both worlds happens. And you have the top feuds from Raw and the top feuds from Friday Night SmackDown. That's your top five. No filler on a top five pay-per-view. All the big stuff, bangs and whistles. But yeah, return of exclusive pay-per-view.
I'm always quite a fan of exclusive pay-per-views.
So
I think it does. Everyone seems to get sick of it after a while, but I like
Armageddon,
how...
always Raw.
Yeah,
bring back Armageddon.
Judgment Day was often SmackDown.
Yeah, and Bash at the Beach.
Give
great
us
Mountain
a nice Bus. Breather. Give us a nice breather. Just
that's what I was. Well, that was the point. I think I'm going to go for a yes, but the problem is, I'm assuming you don't want two pay-per-views a month. You just want
one.
And I agree with that, but the problem is then you've got a big gap between, say, like two Raw ones. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? Actually, it might be.
I think it's a good thing because it means you can have more mid-card. Mid-card storylines blow off.
This is the thing. Yeah. You've got a million wrestlers. These, like, The Fiend should not have been on as many Raws doing the same thing over and over again as he has.
Yeah.
See him once a month. That's all you need from The Fiend. And everyone, the same. It's these creative. You've got creative teams have storylines that bleed over from show to show. It does seem quite simple, but it is really hard. I understand that. But they don't do it very well.
It's a yes from me. I think it'll allow for more TV storylines. And that's what I find... As we go on in life and we watch more and more WWE, it just seems to bubble up at pay-per-views and then it's the same stuff every week.
And feuds are now just a series of matches, and they have been for a few years now, and it's inferior. At least with Lana and Bobby Lashley.
Give me back some TV matches. Give me back some, like...
Wait.
I mean, at least with Lana and Bobby Lashley, they're doing something that is resembling a storyline. It's not just a series of matches. I know it's not everyone's taste.
Plus, we all ask for the Attitude Era back, and this sort of stuff was right back then.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. But it's better than, say, like, to give a recent example, Natalya and Lacey Evans.
I think that was their ninth or eighth match last night as we sat here. On Raw this week.
And there's only been... The story, I guess, has been Lacey stealing the sharpshooter.
The custody of the sharpshooter.
It's just gone from...
Is she going to go after
match,
The Rock?
Match. There's
it was
no
reason. Do you remember in 2016? This will always stick in my mind. The Corbin and Ziggler feud, which went on for a million matches. And during that storyline, there was no actual storyline. They were just having matches. Because one of them was a good lad and one of them was a bad lad.
I agree then. Yes. Yeah. Yes from me as well.
It's a yes from me.
It's all just down to the use of talent, isn't it? They don't have to... The balance the problem is wrong.
As your roster grows, it's going to become more and more difficult. No matter how you pace it, it's going to become more and more difficult until they announce a fourth brand, at which point, you know, I genuinely don't think we're very far off. Maybe 5 years off that, maybe.
Whoa.
If it keeps growing. Because think about it. They're going to have like 300, 400 wrestlers.
What do you mean? They've already got one. NXT UK.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Joseph Connors for champion. It's my...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's my pick now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. So my second pitch is, I think it's more of a specific one. It's less, so far we've just been doing kind of big abstract ideas, but this one's a specific one involving actual wrestlers with names. So I'm going to say that, yeah, I know. I'm going to say that often we've seen drafts be used to break up tag teams and it hasn't really benefited either party, like the Dudleys. But I think that in this draft, it should be used to reunite a team that we have seen before, but the breakup did nothing for them. So I want to see Aleister Black and Ricochet back on the same brand. I don't really mind which one it is. Maybe Raw, I guess, but I don't really care. I just want to see them back together because I thought they were a really promising tag team. They were having great matches. I don't think they ever won the big one. They never won a set of tag titles. And most importantly of all as well, I was desperate for them eventually to break up and feud because I think that they could have an excellent feud and some really high-caliber matches on pay-per-view with maybe... You don't even need stipulations. You could just have an excellent match between the two of them. So I really want to see them back together for two reasons. One, because they're a great tag team. And two, to have an eventual feud when they break up. So yeah, that's my pitch.
The one thing about that tag team was, for me, it just never made sense, which is why I thought they were desperate to split them up, because you had Big Dirty Goth Lad and Superhero.
Okay.
And he just didn't. It was just like, put them together.
They didn't really explain it, yeah.
But
their one is the day. And one is the night.
One fights for all of the people that have regular jobs, blue collar workers and that, and the other one's Ricochet. But like, it's like, given the fact that there wasn't anything really going into it story wise between them, they were an amazing tag team. They put on great matches, and I would very much like to see them feud. But yeah, we just got to sort of sit through another few weeks or a couple of months of just like, doesn't make sense, but they're still a team. But I think once you eventually split them, as you said, there'll be some unreal matches.
I do think that weren't they originally a loose team on NXT? They'd been forced into an alliance together, and then they were a victim of that time when Vince just went, let's call up four of them now.
Yeah, and Triple H revealed them at the start of the show.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was like they had got
so tonight we got these guys.
Yeah. So I think then from that moment on, it was like, now they're a tag team. There you go. And it was like, yeah, I do see what you mean, Ross.
It's a big fat no from me, Jack.
Bloody hell.
A big fat no.
Why?
Just because one main reason, and that is Aleister Black is the perfect remedy. Oh. Rival for The Fiend, isn't he? He's the guy, isn't he? To try... It's the culty, what's he stand for? That malarkey. That, you know what I mean?
He fights for the blue-collar worker. Don't you listen to Michael Cole? Milkmen. Builders. Aleister Black's all about them.
What? I'm not sure if I'm right here. What's Van Helsing?
Van Helsing is like he was a monster hunter.
Yeah, he's like that, isn't he, Aleister Black? Yeah, was he dark and gothy?
Aleister Black's more like black magic and occult and Aleister Crowley.
But Paul Daniels.
Yeah, he's Paul Daniels. Heading off to make various ping pong balls appear.
But yeah,
he
could sort of take on that Van Helsing style role very well. Like, the only thing that can bring him down is somebody that understands the sort of dark art.
That's a feud that needs to stretch years. Aleister Black.
Years.
I know I'm asking for a bit too much.
They see each other in a rumble 4 years from now and it's just like, you, and the crowd goes mental.
Just vignettes of him trying to travel into hell to find him and stuff. Yeah, that's a fair.
And also, I think this nearly made the cut for one of my pitches, but the tag teams in general just need massive work. I want one division, just one tag for the men, this is, and the women, just one division side by side, split between both rosters.
Okay.
Because there's just not enough tag teams in either division to have three divisions, is there?
Not really.
But that's not one of my
pitches. They've got all those belts, Ross. They're not just going to get rid of all those belts.
They should do, though. Do the right thing. The thing I want.
What was yours as a yes or a no in the end, or you hadn't decided yet?
I was gonna say yes, but of what Ross has said, it makes perfect sense.
I agree with you as well in that it's a team that doesn't really, there's no real connection there.
Yeah,
I know that they're a bit of yin and yang, but
the connection did develop and it became like a weird fan favorite. Like, oh, it doesn't work, but screw it, this is amazing. Or it shouldn't work, but it does more. Like, that was sort of like
they would sit down in unison.
Yeah,
that
it was great.
Popped everyone. It was good.
But yeah, I think Aleister Black is...
In fact, no, bollocks. A tag team that likes a good sit-down. It's a tag team I can relate to.
You a fan of Orange Cassidy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Bloody, yeah.
Well, that's fair reason, I guess, for turning it down. Now on to your final one.
Yes,
last
and
pitch.
It's a long one, so buckle
right.
up.
Okay.
So, this deals with... you strapping in?
I've strapped in.
Or strapping on. This
Rocket strapped me, Daddy. I don't know where that came from. Rest in peace, ENC, pod of awesomeness, as we know it.
Oh, yeah.
Edge left.
It's just Christian's pod of awesome. Yeah.
But anyway, this concerns the folding of 205 Live into the wider roster, using the draft as like a launching point.
Okay.
So the draft arrives and 205 Live is announced as cancelled again this week. That's part of the basis. And then only one member of the 205 Live roster is drafted, and it's Drake Maverick.
How many notes have you got there?
To NXT? It goes on.
Oh my god!
He's drafted to NXT.
So sorry, only one member's drafted.
I would like Drake a dramatic. I would like a dramatic reading of this note.
All right. Okay. So
arms involved and everything.
It's confusing. The rest of the roster start airing their grievances on Twitter in quite a shooty manner. And then certain guys, as it goes on, and there's just weeks without 205 Live, certain guys just start showing up on indies. Oh. And then WWE issue suspensions through the site, telling these guys, telling the public that they shouldn't have done what they did. And then eventually Drake Maverick's revealed on NXT, and it's Regal that reveals him, and he's sort of getting blamed for being an absentee GM. And he's sort of one of the big reasons 205 Live's had to fold, because he's focusing too much on the 24/7 belt. Regal doesn't like this because, he takes his job very seriously, and Maverick obviously doesn't.
Yeah.
So, for all intents and purposes, he's going to be Regal's bitch. And they're going to sort of have Drake Maverick do whatever they want. It's sort of like a tough love type thing, but they want him to sort of publicly address this and say, he's here in NXT to do this because he was such a failure in 205, and he snaps in the middle of the ring with Triple H and Regal and just, I quit, walks out.
Oh.
Just before you carry on, this needs to happen with Regal going on Twitter and saying, "How Drake, I'll meet you at this location and we'll have a scrap, young man."
There's a lot of shooty Twitter stuff that can happen throughout this.
I love Regal's tweets to people.
So he leaves and then he starts shooting on Twitter. And then
this is Drake Maverick.
Yeah. And then NXT just carried on and carries on and carries on. And then eventually one week there is a title match in the main event. And then halfway through the match, you see essentially security from ringside start rushing to the back, and the guys in the ring are sort of like, what's going on? Everything starts to slow down and get a bit weird, and then we cut to a live feed camera in the back and loads of people are getting jumped, and then security are sort of barreled down the ramp back toward the ring, and it's the 205 Live roster, and Drake Maverick is the final one behind them leading them out.
Wait, they're back on side with him now?
So yeah, they're basically, he told them to stick it. Yeah, but he's told them to stick it, so they're all basically,
he's
they're
sticking
here,
up for 205
and
Live.
Yeah, they're now taking over. So 205, they lay out the champ and challenger, start trashing Full Sail Nexus style. Maverick essentially announces that 205 isn't going anywhere. WWE have tried to suppress them. They're being the butt of the joke and all that stuff, and they demand to be taken seriously. And then page two. It's all fine for a little bit, and then Gulak slowly turns on Maverick, and then Maverick eventually goes up against Gulak because Gulak goes a bit too far. He then leads like a group of face 205 Live guys to sort of go up against Gulak's team, and then you get sort of NXT and 205 face guys.
I thought you were going to say that Gulak defects to NXT because it's the more prestigious and he likes a bit of that.
Possibly.
Yeah, but either way.
Yeah, you get NXT and 205 faces and Gulak's heel squad going at it, probably at like a War Games. Or you can have Gulak versus the champion in NXT for a winner takes all. You then have, 205 eventually gets toppled. The NXT champion wins the Cruiserweight belt. It's then vacated, and then that's how you bring in a newly designed Cruiserweight title.
Okay.
There's then a big tournament. Drake Maverick is sort of, because he turned face again, like he's won the respect back of his peers, he's sent off up to like Raw or SmackDown to become one of the assistants to the GM, so it ties into my original idea. And then you have sort of the worst offenders, not Gulak, but the other sort of worst offenders, people like Aria Davari and that, they get kicked off into other brands, and then you've sort of split them all nice and evenly across three different brands,
right.
And then you eventually have, probably Gulak go on and win the title in a big tournament.
I like it.
Big, comprehensive.
Well done.
Very comprehensive.
It was really nice.
So you say Regal's blaming Maverick for the demise of 205 Live.
Yes.
What do these renegades blame for the demise of 205 Live?
WWE overlooking them.
Oh.
So WWE doing things like cancelling their show. On the big Fox debut, they cancelled their show. Mm. They've cancelled it week on week, and they just sort of forgot about them. And the whole idea is it's sort of a rogue band of wrestlers against WWE.
I like it, and I'm probably going to give it a yes, but my one thing is that it sounds like a big, like, time-consuming thing. So would there still be other NXT storylines going on as well, hopefully?
Yeah, I think so. Right, okay. Because, yeah, I mean, the 205 Live roster, including the guys that are already NXT contracted, who would end up being Maverick's good 205 guys, like Humberto Carrillo and that. They sort of... Yeah, like Lindsay and that. But you'd sort of have them all doing all that stuff, and you'd still have some NXT stuff going on. And,
right. Yeah, it's a yes from me. And well done.
Thank you.
For showing your work in as well.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. Extra points in the exam, innit? To show your work in. So I've got to say yes. With added points.
Wonderful. Something. Is your final point ridiculous?
Nope.
Oh, I was going to say.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's founded from ridiculousness. Because for some reason, NXT is not involved. So my third pitch is for NXT to be involved. And I realise that's a very dangerous thing because traditionally, people going from NXT to the main roster flounder. So I want to keep NXT as it is, the basis of that roster at the top level. Nobody gets promoted, but people go there. People like EC3. People like of that ilk who just aren't being... And who knows, this might change with the exclusive rosters thing that, you know, there's more time being shared between less people. The wildcard rule not being a thing, so it might change for EC3. But I don't think it will. Because for whatever reason, he's done something, which means that whoever's putting the shows together doesn't like the man and likes to make him look foolish. But NXT... be part of this draft because it is a third brand. It's on the USA Network.
What if it was Jeremy Borash all along?
Oh, get Borash involved. Make Borash a ring announcer. That's my third pitch, actually. Borash. I love Borash, man. He's in the ENC's Pod of Awesomeness was talked about, had a one with Borash, and him and Christian just talked about their top five boy bands, and it was an enthralling discussion.
Oh, my God.
An enthralling discussion. Edge then got involved, and I think Edge, I was driving at the time, I can't quite remember, he suggested the Beatles.
There's a boy band.
And he was listen to them. Right. They're a boy band. And I was like,
they were the boy band of their day, weren't they? Yeah, the Beatles. Yeah. We're doing it as well. We're starting to turn into...
Yeah, yeah. Sam, boy bands?
Huh?
Boy bands?
What, my favourite boy bands?
Yeah. Do you have any?
Five, obviously.
Five, got it. We'll make you get down.
Nah, not one of mine.
What?
Whoa. Backstreet
Keep
Boys.
Keep on moving, mate.
Backstreet Boys, yeah.
A1.
Okay.
You're going to say Boyzone?
No.
Take That had some longevity, didn't they?
They did, but Gary Baller didn't pay his taxes.
if they make it illegal, people will stop doing it.
Westlife.
Nah.
Oh!
Nah.
That's the end of the discussion.
You can't have
your best boy bands and not have Westlife.
I've got to agree with the Westlife shout. When you're looking at that, it's an absolutely fantastic show.
Yeah, that's like the only one.
No. Seasons in the Sun.
Where does Blue rank for people?
Blue's in the... Blue might be sixth on mine.
Blue... One Love is a great song. No, it's not.
NXT.
Not the Bob Marley One Love, the Blue One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One Love.
For the mother's pride. One Love. For the times we cried. NXT.
NXT to be part of the draft because it's not nothing. That's a disgrace. And it's officially the third brand now.
We've just lost everybody, by the way. We've all got to say Jonas Brothers. All the younger kids.
No.
Jonas Brothers.
Find that those lads. What they called?
Hanson.
No, it's like B3, is it?
E3.
Oh, what? EC3.
There's thousands of them.
Oh, BS.
So Solid Crew?
BS.
Is it BSS?
BST.
BST. BST.
Those lads. Oh, the ones that take the break.
K-pop.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
K-pop. What are the boy
Everybody
bands around
like?
At the minute? There's not many.
One Direction. Oh, no, they broke off, obviously.
Crap, anyway.
Oh, no, One Direction had some good songs. Three of them can sing, two of them can't.
But NXT to be part of the draft on Friday and Monday.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
But keeping people in NXT, already in NXT, keep them there. Just send people down there, well, over there.
Is it across, Ross, across?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Across the bow.
It's an easy yes from me. Yes. Sam? One love for the city streets. One love for the hip-hop beats.
Blazing Squad.
Blazing Squad.
No, they can go away. I asked to be part of Blazing Squad on Twitter once, and they told me to go away.
Oh, they told you to go away?
I reckon you could join Scooter.
They're not a boy band.
No, I know, but you could join Scooter.
Okay, I would love to be part of Scooter. So Solid Crew. If you hook me up, Harvey.
Romeo. And the twins. There was twins in So Solid Crew.
Really?
Yeah. They did a rap together where they did like interlocking. Like,
I don't know too much about So Solid Crew. Okay, 21 seconds.
Tut. Right, it's mine. I've got one left. There's one left on the video as well. Sad times. Mine is going to be kind of a Like, do you remember was it the last draft or the one before or something? Like, in 2016, I think, or 17, Heath Slater got over because no one wanted him. And then he got chucked against Rhino, and then they ended up tagging, and then they won the tag belts on SmackDown eventually. And it made Heath Slater for a while go from, like, doing absolutely nothing to actually being a champion and being something really entertaining on the roster. So I think that the draft's not only a good excuse to elevate people who are already quite high in the card, but also people who are quite low. And I'd like to see, you mentioned before, like maybe EC3, where he's, in fact, he'd be the perfect person for it because his very personality would work. Like, say on the first night of the draft on SmackDown, EC3 turns up all like in a limo and he's all covered in like gold and all that. And he thinks he's going to be, he's like, I'm going to be the top five draft pick or whatever. I'm going to be taken easily very early on. And then no one takes him and he's just sat there getting more and more humiliated as more and more picks get taken. And then on the second night, he's like last and he kicks off. And then eventually it leads to him getting over somehow. I haven't really thought of the ending.
You could turn a mega heel.
Well, yeah. Yeah, or for sympathy as well, either or. But yeah, maybe he gets really annoyed and beats up like
Vince,
an old person. I was going to say just any elderly person, yeah. And that's why his son. Or it doesn't have to be EC3. My other pitch for this was MVP, a returning MVP, because it's his gimmick. He'll think like, I'm going to get picked. 1-2, you hear the clock ticking.
I'm coming.
Nobody can stop me. It's going to get clipped, isn't it, on Twitter? That
just I'm coming.
But no, with EC3, I think as well. I think that would work especially well. But it could be with anyone. That's my final pitch.
I'm on board as long as there's plenty of references to Bobby the Brain Heenan on the first roll.
Dressing as a disguise. Well, he disguised
himself. Anyway, trying to get in to a brand. They show up on every single show.
Yeah.
A different way to try and get signed each time. Hilarity is hard for months, years, decades. Yeah.
I very much enjoy it. I like the idea of somebody sitting and waiting and waiting and getting more and more humiliated. Basically because they realise how...
Man.
No, but they sort of humiliated by their own actions. Like, they're sort of...
Yeah.
They realise how up themselves they've been. But at the end of the day, they're still not going to believe that, and they're going to turn and they're going to attack somebody and lay somebody out with a chair and just, you know...
It's very Jericho.
You put me last.
Like WCW
I'm gonna
Jericho.
I'm show you.
Or when he did
Can
the
Can we
petition
get EC3 his own Ralphus?
Yeah, of course. Let's have a think. Oh, Otis. No, not Otis.
I could play as Ralphus.
Why not?
Oh, you can't waste Otis like that.
You wouldn't waste him.
Oh, no.
He'd just hop on his rocket to the top.
World champion.
Get on board, Otis. Come on. Off we go.
Turn on Tucker.
I don't know what Tucker's going to do. Right. Well, that's... I mean, 8 of the 9 pitches got cleared. I'm really sorry for that, Ricochet Alistair Blackwell.
That's all right.
You should be. I'm offended.
Right.
You'll do better next time, buddy.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
And thanks, everyone, for watching as well. We've been Jack Ross and Sam. Have you got anything to plug, respectively?
When's this going out?
Today, I think, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I've got a straight to hell this weekend.
Oh,
Well, there's this video. There's you can find me on Twitter at @LessDefined. I'm also on Instagram at @Less_Defined.
At Jack the Jobber and at JackGKing92, I think, on Instagram. Ross, you might as well do it as well.
At Ross on Wrestling on both Twitter and Instagram. And the straight to hell is with Alicia Ritoot.
Oh, the interview queen.
The interview queen.
Fair enough.
AEW series continues.
How do you interview an interviewer? We'll find out. Check out Ross.
Well, I'm going to find out how to do it properly.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to ask her directly. I'm going to say, Alicia, you're going to find out during this interview. I've got no idea what I'm doing. What are your top tips for a successful interview?
Fair enough.
Hopefully I say it verbatim.
It's just going to turn into a straight to hell with you, isn't it? It's going to happen. She's just going to take charge.
I've done mine. It's on the channel already. April Fools, everyone.
Thanks so much for watching, and don't forget to put your hands in the middle.
I was just going for it
anyway, because I couldn't think of a sign off. Join us.
Tickle balls.
Thanks very much for watching, and let us know what you think in the comments section down below. You can follow Cultaholic on Twitter at Cultaholic and on Facebook at facebook.com/Cultaholic. If you enjoy what we do, then please do check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Cultaholic, where you can pledge. And don't forget, of course, most importantly of all, to hit subscribe and to join us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.